Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I read the lesson today, I couldn't help but think of Tessa Erickson. All the prayers that have gone up, the work that has been done in the medical community to try to save her life. It's the stuff of nightmares for every single parent to lose a child. And in this story, the widow of Nain not only lost a child, but she lost everything. Because widows in those days did not have Social Security. They did not have jobs they could fall back on. There were no insurance plans. If you were a widow, you were destitute. And you had to rely on the good graces of family, if there was any family left, or the good graces of the community. You remember in the New Testament, when the apostles started out, one of the first things they did was they had a distribution for the widows. And every day the widows would come to get food, or else they would starve to death. It was a brutal economy for women alone. There were no jobs. There was no security. So this widow lost her only means of livelihood, not only her beloved son, but the way in which she could live. Parents' insurance policies in those days was to have a lot of kids and hope that there were a lot of boys there to carry on. And she had lost that. So no wonder there was a huge crowd following that young man's casket out of the village, because they knew what she had lost. And Jesus happened on this big group. Now, nobody went to Jesus. Like in our story last week, people interceded for a man who was sick. Nobody came to Jesus and asked him to intercede in this situation because there was no hope. The person was dead. That was it. Doesn't say that anyone said, please help. But when he saw the parade of sorrow, the Bible said he was moved with compassion. That meant within the depths of his being, he felt. And he was so moved that he went up to that dead man and he touched the bier that he was being borne on. And he said, get up. After he had told Mom not to cry, which would have been completely inappropriate, but he knew what he was going to do, and he said, get up. And that young man rose up, and he started to talk. You wonder what he said. He started talking, and he was given back to his mother. Not just a loved one, but her whole life was given back to her. And this story reminds me of why I'm a Christian today. Because Jesus speaks life even in death. When we gather at funerals, what do we talk about? We talk about the resurrection. We talk about the fact that there was a Savior who rose from the dead. We talk about the fact that there are many rooms in God's mansions. And I remember that word being spoken some years back when another young person, Bo Johnson, died. And when Bo Johnson decided that he wanted no more treatments, that he wanted to go home, he was friends of an old man named Delmar Dahl. And Delmar Dahl told him that in God's house there were a lot of rooms. And would Bo like to be in one of those rooms? And Bo said, yes, I would. And on his last day of life, when he was in the hospital, his uncle was in the hospital too, but he had gone out to get a bite to eat. And Bo called him on the cell phone and said, Uncle, where are you? And Uncle told him. And he said, well, I'm outside the hospital. And the uncle knew that that was not true. He said, Bo, what are you doing outside the hospital? He said, I'm waiting for my room in my father's house. Are many rooms. And one of the tasks of the Christian is to breathe life and to speak life into death, and to speak hope when there is no hope, and to speak light into darkness. And this is what we do as people of the resurrection. We speak life, as Jesus spoke life and said, "Rise up." I remember in my last church, there was a woman with two little girls, and her husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She had an infant and a three-year-old, and she prayed that God would at least spare her husband's life long enough for those children to know their father. The older girl was five when her dad died, and I remember the look on that little girl's face when her mom had to say, "Daddy's gone and won't be back. He's dead." And I remember the despair of that widow because she didn't have a green card. She had no livelihood. They had been plunged from a middle-class existence into poverty because of his illness. And she didn't know what she was going to do. And that church surrounded her and started to speak life into that situation. And so when she couldn't pick her child up from daycare, when she did get a job, we would come and pick the children up. We would take care of her kids. We took care of her. We helped her with rent, with everything she needed. And we kept telling her, "God is with you, and we are not going to abandon you." That's been 20 years ago. And a few weeks back, I got an invitation. That five-year-old got married to a nice Wisconsin boy. And I'm going in a few weeks' time to Appleton for a picnic. And I'm going to see that family again. They never forgot. That little girl went to be a college graduate. She now works in New York City. She's married. Her mother is doing well because there was a church that spoke life, that said, "This is not hopeless. We're going to speak life into you." I'm here to tell you that in every situation, when your hopes and dreams are shattered, come to Jesus. He will speak life into death. Sometimes we humans say, "What's the point? What's the point of living?" Because death keeps intruding. But because of Jesus, life trumps death. That's our faith. And as we come to this communion service, I hope we remember that Jesus is here. And whatever situation in your life has been hopeless, whatever dreams have been shattered, the God of life, Jesus, is here. And we, the people of the resurrection, need to continue to speak that word of life in every situation we see. We are agents of life. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the life that we have in Jesus, that life that defies death, that life that sees the sun come out. And I ask for that one here today who has looked at their situation and seen only darkness. I ask that your presence would come to that person today. And I ask for those of us who know the light, give us that word each day that we can speak into someone else's darkness, someone else's death. Until that day when faith becomes sight and we see you face to face. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.